you have your Bibles, want to turn with me to Matthew, book of Matthew chapter 9. I was originally looking at chapter 10 and started to prepare my lesson for that. And then I thought, well, I need to go a couple of verses up into chapter 9. I ended up going all the way to verse 1. So we'll just start in chapter 9 instead of chapter 10. But I want to thank God for the privilege of being here tonight. Life is so full of things. We're always faced with something new, some other thing. But I've been, and actually, I've thought about this for a while, and I didn't want to sound like bragging. You know, but I'm bragging, but I'm bragging on God. And but I was thinking the other day at the grocery store, the Lord first talked to me about giving. Years ago, we were going to a little Methodist church, and I went. Went to my wife and I told her God was talking to me. God was dealing with me about tithing. And I said, babe, I promise you, we'll never go without food on the table. And God's true. I've never even had to check the checkbook before I went to the grocery store. And that's not me, that's God. And I just want to praise him for taking care of us for the last, well, it's going on 46 years, few years less than that, that when I got saved. And some of you have heard my testimony. I'm not 100% sure when I got saved. The first time God dealt with me, it was back in phone booth days. So, you know, it's been a while. And I found a tract in a phone booth, and I read it. I had heard the story before. I prayed in that phone booth. So if I actually got saved then, and that was my only... If I didn't get saved then I started tithing before I was saved. So... you know, you just don't know, but I know I'm God's. I know I'm His, and that's the important thing. So Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to start reading at verse 1 and read down through 8 to start. And God's word says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came unto his own city, talking about Jesus. And it says, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which he had given such power unto men. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much again for the privilege of being here this evening. Thank you, Lord, for all these folks that are here, Father. In spite of knowing that I was going to teach, they showed up anyway, Father, and I thank you for them. And Lord, just help me to be a blessing. Lord, the folks have already been a blessing to me. And Lord, I love you. I thank you, and I want to praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. If I was, Josh, Pastor Josh, after I speak, he'll always come to me and say, you know, do you have a title for that message. So I actually tried to think of a title in advance for this one, and all I could think of is, that's our Jesus. That is our Jesus. But you know, in this story, in chapter 9, we join the story of Jesus and his disciples. They had gotten into a boat, traveled, sailed to Capernaum. And when there, Jesus met a man sick of the palsy. And it says in the scripture, they brought to him. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. You know, this is an act of faith on these people's parts that may have never met Jesus. Some of them may have. They've clearly heard of him, or they wouldn't have been bringing this individual to them. It's a situation of faith put to action, faith with feet. And something I love about, and there's so many things I love about this church, there's so many things I've been exposed to since I came here that I was never exposed to before. And it's been a wonderful experience for me. It's as far as learning to praise and to worship and just an amount of freedom that I hadn't known before. You know, it's been a wonderful experience for me being here, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that I've been given an opportunity, or we've been given an opportunity to work with the kids and to teach them. But we've learned so much from our new brothers and sisters in Christ that we've met since we came here. And I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that and what you all mean to us in that regard. I wanted to just turn over to James. Very familiar passage in James chapter 2, starting at verse 15. And just talking about faith and faith having feet, faith having action. Chapter 2 and verse 15, God's word says, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, though thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." A lot of faith, a lot of what, how we show the world faith, how we show the world that we believe, how we witness with our actions, is what he's talking about here. Having feet on your faith, having faith that goes beyond, you know, 2 inches in front of your face. And that's a wonderful thing about believers, bold believers, like. Don't tell anybody I talked about her, but my wife. You know, she's a much bolder person than I am. You've probably noticed she's a better conversationalist than I am. She's better at speaking to people, at making friends. She cares more than I do. You know, that's a shameful thing to admit, but she does. She remembers people's prayer requests and things going on in their lives, and she reminds me so that I can pray about it too. But, you know, faith is not on. You know, the only time that my faith didn't need to be public was when I went to the Lord and asked him to save me. That was the only person important to see that or to be aware of that faith was God. But since then, my faith needs to be something that other people can see as well. It needs to be open and out there, and I need to do a better job of doing that. I need to do a better job of witnessing and going on visitation and doing all of these things that I know I'm supposed to do, but I'm a coward. I truly am. I you know, it's amazing I don't have feathers. I'm such a big chicken. But, you know, you go in, get up and go anyway, and usually nobody attacks me. You know, so I don't know why I'm a chicken, but That's just, we need to carry our faith out. We need to remember what Paul told Titus in Titus 2:7. He gave him this instruction: in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. These are the outward things that people need to see in us. A pattern of good works. They say a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while. We might do something right every once in a while by accident. But, I need to try to do something right a little more often than that. So showing that pattern of good works, doing things habitually. We all have habits. One of my habits is anytime I'm near something with sugar in it, I eat it. That's not necessarily a good habit. But there are good things that we can do that we should be doing habitually. We all mature at a different rate in our Christian walk, and I hope someday I'll start maturing. But for right now, I just look at others, like Brother Steve here, that I look up to, there's so many men around here that I've just taken as my examples of what a Christian man needs to be. Now, I'm still pretty young. I'm only 66, so I've got a lot of growing to do. Seriously, though, you never get too old to have a Christian example. You never get too old to have somebody in your life, and if you don't, find somebody. But somebody in your life that you can look up to. Somebody in your life that you can model. And, they're not in the place of Christ. If they do wrong, they do wrong. But somebody that has that pattern of good works and you want to model yourself after. So we need that. We realize things that are right for our lives at different paces and different times. But there's some things that are right for everyone. Some things you just don't even have to wonder about. God tells us in His Word that this is what we ought to do. Salvation. In 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. He wants us all to be saved, every one of us. He died for all of whosoever. I love that word, whosoever. He died for us that whosoever would believe on Him have everlasting life. So, but there's other things. Church attendance is right for everybody. Now, there's been times you've looked around, I wasn't here. Okay? Usually that's because she made me sick. But this last time I made her sick. But we should try to be in church. We should try to be in church anytime. Prayer. Prayer is a beautiful, wonderful thing that is required of us. And I need to spend more time in. Giving, being a witness. All these things are for everybody. You don't have to pray about those and say, Lord, would you have me to do that? Those are things that God wants us all to do. But back to the story. I bet you were wondering, well, why did he even read that if he's not going to talk about it? Back to the Jesus coming over on the ship, coming to Capernaum. And the Bible says they brought to Him. Did you ever look at that and say, who's they? Who is they? They were doing the work. They were doing the work of today's church. They were taking somebody to Jesus. That's our biggest job. The pastor's biggest job is to teach us how to do our job. Pastor Tom, Pastor Josh, Pastor Greg, their jobs are to teach us how to do our jobs. And bringing someone to Jesus is our job. You know, that's the main thing we have to do. These people were doing that job. You know, we can reasonably presume, I looked up assume and presume to make sure which one was right. We can reasonably presume that they are a group of men that wanted to help. You know, we don't know how long they knew this man that was sick of the palsy. We don't know even if all of them did know. Have you ever done something for somebody that you didn't know because you were helping your friend do it? So we don't even know that all these men knew the man that was sick of the palsy. We don't know how long or how well he was known by them. But the one thing we do know is somebody made a plan. You know, a lot of things, most things don't happen by accident. Somebody's got to make a plan. You know, Pastor Josh has the plan going out on Saturdays. We're going to start back, I think, the 11th. Fourth or fifth or 11th or 22nd, sometime next month. Yeah. It'll be in the bulletin. Yeah. It'll be in the bulletin. That saves me so many times. But, you know, they're... could have been family members or friends. Like I said, friend of a friend. But they knew that this man had need, and they knew that there was somebody that they thought would help. Yeah. Somebody that they thought could help. Somebody that they thought would be willing to help. And they knew that Jesus was the source of that help. He was the one that they could take this man to. Something else, and I've done this. Have you ever gotten involved in something, you're helping somebody out, and you've thought to yourself, this is a total waste of time. This is never going to turn out. Nobody knows what they're doing. It's a shambles. I could have been home in bed still right now if I didn't get up early to show up at this show. We don't know their motivation, but regardless of why, they were there. They were there to help. They were there to do the work. Now they're pushing through this crowd. They've got the man. We don't know how many of them they were, but we know there was a crowd because Jesus always drew a crowd. And so they're trying to push through this crowd to get closer, to be heard. You know, anytime you look at a crowd, you look at, you know, people with a lot of different reasons to be there. You know, I imagine some of these people were there because they believed in Jesus as the Christ. They believed that he was the Messiah, the coming King, the only begotten. And some of them were there out of fear. They wanted to learn more about Jesus because they feared him. They feared that he was going to take away their power, take away their station, take away their importance in the Jewish religion. Some of them wanted to believe, but they needed proof. And then you always have the curiosity seekers, just some that are there just to see what's going on. That will never be me. If there's a crowd, I'm not going to be there unless I have to be. But there will be people there just to see what's going on. But they finally break through this crowd, and they're close enough to be heard, and they see this man. You know, the Bible teaches us that there was nothing about Christ that would draw attention to him. Nothing that made him stand out. He just looked like an ordinary man. He was wearing the clothes of the day. He was groomed the way people were groomed at that time. He wasn't exceptionally tall. He wasn't exceptionally short. He was just an ordinary man. But yet, when people looked at him, they knew there was something special. They knew that he wasn't just an ordinary man. Not because of his looks, not because of his attire. They just knew there was something special. Nothing about him would make him stand out, but everything about him stood out. That's amazing. But you know, he does stand out. He's different. He's special. When you see him and you have a need, your heart doesn't doubt anymore. You know that this is the man that can meet your need. When you meet him today, you get that feeling. Finally, someone that can meet my need. Now, brother, when you were talking about getting your no cancer notice, praise God for that. But part of why, I mean, still, we know that if it had been yes, if it had been cancer, God would see us through. That's the assurance we have. Some bad things are going to happen, but God will see us through. We are going to come out on the other end. We might not know immediately why that we had to do that, go through that. We don't know how many people we might be able to help down the road with our experience and what's happened to us and sharing what God's done for us. We just don't know, but he is the one. He's the one who can help. This man who you know, they'd heard of him. He was sent by God. He healed the deaf. He healed the mute. He healed the lame, gave sight to the blind. This man that they were taking their friend to, whoever they were, the coming king, the Messiah, this man looks at your friend after you finally get him through the crowd and get him into his presence, looks at your friend and says the most wonderful, most reassuring, most important words that anybody can ever hear. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Yes, amen. And, you know, I can imagine being in that crowd. I can imagine being one of those people that had carried the bed. And when Jesus looked at my friend and said, thy sins be forgiven thee, I know that he's just not talking to him. He doesn't just have power to forgive this one man's sin on the bed. He has power to forgive my sins as well. He has power to forgive my friends that are gathered around this bed. He has power to forgive the Pharisee that's standing over on the edge of the crowd because he doesn't want anybody to recognize him and know he's there. All of those people, he's not just talking to that man. He's talking to them all. Anyone that will come to him, anyone that will accept his salvation, he's saying, your sins can be forgiven you. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, the ones that have been knocked down by life, ignored by the crowd, sick of hoping, sick of trying, sobbing in their hearts continuously, that's some of us at times in our life. He is there for those, and he is there for us. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, definitely when he spoke, no doubt. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Amen.
I think the compassion that he showed everyone.
He does. He is the definition of compassion. Absolutely is. Verse 3. It says, behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. You know, the scribes, most of them, if not all of them, were Pharisees. They were intelligent. They were well studied. They were meticulous. You know, they had to make sure when they copied the word of God that not one jot, one tittle was left out or added, that everything was just perfect. They were enraged by Christ's words, forgiving sin. They said within themselves, they didn't say it out loud, but they said within themselves that he was blaspheming. Can you imagine feeling? I mean, you know, put yourself in their shoes for a moment. Okay, you're like I said, if they weren't all Pharisees, most of them were. Most of the scribes were Pharisees. And they've already been taught. They've already been in meetings. They've talked about this man. They didn't believe that he was Christ. They didn't believe that he was God, this coming king, the Messiah. They believed that he was just another man trying to make a name for himself and cause problems. That's how they saw our Christ. And can you imagine hearing him say to someone, "Thy sins be forgiven thee"? And it's hard to tell. I mean, he didn't have a prophet anoint him king. You know, they read in the scriptures. They were looking for a powerful, a mighty king, a military leader. There weren't any armies to support him. No prophet anointed him. And here he is fulfilling all of the prophecy, but not the way they expected. Just not the way they expected. And no, you're fine. Pardon me. But you know, we can be that way sometimes. And we will meet a lot of people that can be that way at sometimes, because we, you know, people that I met a lot of folks that come from the country. When I, you know, met my wife, we went out to where the sun quit shining, went about another 20 miles, and then we were in Breeden, West Virginia. 25666 is the zip code for Breeden, West Virginia, if that tells you anything about it. Yeah. So, there were pastors there that could not read. All they were doing was preaching what had been preached to them. There was a lot of confusion. There were people, they were men of God out there that knew their stuff. I'm not saying that everybody out there was that way, but there was a lot of confusion. And when you're raised that way, when you're raised in that situation, that's what you believe. And part of the job of the church, and this falls on the pastors, is to take us confused people and straighten us out. You know, I think that this group here is pretty well on the right road and helping me out quite a bit. But, you know, we will meet people. We will have people come in. We'll meet people on visitation, have visitors that think that if you didn't talk in tongues, you're not saved. That think if you didn't get baptized, you're not saved. That just all sorts of different things that aren't in God's Word. And we need to have understanding for those people. We need to be patient with those people. We need to be accepting of those people and let them get taught. Amen? But, yeah, it's easy to go down that road. Being locked into what you believe. It's time to go, isn't it? 8 o'clock. Well, no, I've been looking up there. We are supposed to get done at 8, aren't we? Yes, because the kids are going to get out. So, yeah, Judy, head up there. Oh, I was talking about you today. Did your ears burn? My daughter is a hospice nurse now. And she met somebody that just a joy, that was the piano player in her church. And I was talking about when Judy gets into it and that head goes back, you know she is enjoying her job. So, and we appreciate that. We appreciate you, Miss Judy. So thank y'all for listening, and let you close us down.
Let's all stand.